ask if I would assist him as teaching the lesson there. As pastors mentioned, they're visiting family and having a good time with children and grandchildren. And I wanted to use this opportunity to teach a lesson on Christmas. It seems like we've got preparation for it already with the decorations. Thank the ladies and the people that have done a part in this. And the pastor has already mentioned about a Christmas offering. And these are important things at this time of the year. And I thought perhaps we could just share a few thoughts along that line as we think of this season of the year, wonderful season of the year. I enjoy it, and I don't enjoy the stress of shopping. I'll let my wife does most of it or all of it. But I do enjoy the fellowship of family that comes around, and Christmas is a special time. I'm sure if I had we had opportunity, many of you could tell about special times of Christmas in your life, and we won't take time to do that this morning. But this morning our lesson is going to be on the matter of keeping and honoring Christ at Christmas. Can you all see the overhead? I thought I'd try to get it a little bit larger picture, but we seem to have a little trouble with our focusing. But if you can see that, we'll just use the overhead this morning and try to make some points here that we might remember. I'm a different teacher than your teacher, and you'll be glad to have him back, but nevertheless, bear with me this time that we spend together. As we think of this season of the year, there are several thoughts that come to my mind. In a general sense, as we think of Christmas, we realize that the true meaning of Christmas has two basic responses. That is, one of giving. And not only giving, but receiving. Giving and receiving, that's an important response to our Christmas season. And then again, we have the response of goodwill toward men. If you recall, at the birth of Christ, the angelic beings that came and gave news to the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And certainly as we think of this thought, there's an illustration that I find real good to illustrate a point like this. Many years ago, they tell the story of on the battlefield in the First World War I, and the battlefield in France, there's trenches dug, the men of the army forces in one trench and the enemy on the other. On Christmas Eve, it seems that there was a lull in the fighting, and suddenly there came a sound of silent night, holy night, and the forces began to sing from one trench. And then across the way, across the field, the enemy began to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And here were two opposing forces on Christmas Eve. The cannons ceased to fire. The war seemed to be over temporarily. On Christmas Eve, they had goodwill toward men, and certainly this is what happens many times on Christmas. We see illustrations and stories about wayward children coming home. I kind of get teary-eyed yet when I hear the song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. I love that song and some of the old favorites that we have, but it tells a story that maybe there's a wayward son or a wayward daughter, and perhaps some bitter feelings, and they've left home, but Christmas Eve comes, and they have a longing to be restored to that fellowship of the home. So we see those thoughts as we come to Christmas and see how that often Christmas brings to many of us different memories that we've had in the time past. So keep those thoughts in mind as we continue on just a little bit. Christmas is a family time. And I suppose that we all know this. We talked about decorations, and this will soon be a common sight, if not already, in your home. Putting up the Christmas tree, decorating the home, preparing for the meal, the food, and making your menus, and on we can think of preparations that come about for this Christmas season. We know that one of the things that we'll look for and be reminded of, it is a time of giving. Christmas is a time of giving. And our pastor has mentioned just last Sunday and again just a few moments ago that perhaps this year there'll be a time that we will remember to put some of our giving aside to help the purchase and store the land purchase. And remembering that the gift is to Christ and to the work of the church. So these thoughts all come together as we try to put a thought to this. Gifts are placed around and beneath the tree. We know that we find that there's a gift here and there's a gift there. And we find there's other gifts as we place them around the tree. And we find that as we do this, we're reminded of some thoughts. Stockings are hung with care. And there's a variety of gifts, I, like many of you, some of you perhaps, grew up in a time when there was very little in our country, a time of Great Depression. I didn't know what it was to have a boughten gift. My mother would make the girls dolls, perhaps some out of a sock or perhaps some out of something else, and then she'd make them some little clothes to put on them. Dad would fashion some of the toys for us out of wood, and I don't think I saw a boughten sled until I was a teenager. He'd make us a sled for Christmas out of wooden runners, and everyone was the same. We all just grew up with that sort. Some gifts are made, some gifts are purchased. So it all depends really on the need, and also according to the ability of the giver. The need and the ability determines a lot of the gifts that we give at Christmas. We know that there were times then we'd get some clothing, and there were times we'd get some toys, few of them, but they were usually handmade. I can still recall the little trucks and the cars that Dad would make for us as boys. And so these are things that are implanted in our minds as memories of good Christmases. But of all these things, I think of this this thought as we go along. And the question comes to my mind as we go into this lesson. The question comes as I read this verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. It says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So I'd like to just transfer our thoughts, redirect our thoughts just a little bit. As parents, we do the best we can to give to our children. As a family, we try to provide to the best of our ability the needs of their life. But as we think of this, it's all so minute or small in comparison to what our Heavenly Father has prepared for us. So as I get this, another question comes to my mind. Didn't God have a Christmas tree? We have our Christmas trees, and beneath them we'll place gifts. Beneath this tree, it'll be just a place, a focus point where we might gather around and share some precious things in our lives for our family and enjoy the fellowship and the time of Christmas. So yes, we want to look at these thoughts and just examine some of these things as we go along. I think that he did have a Christmas tree. And as we look at this, we see the tree and we see something else here. Well, we see a Christmas tree. Oh, you say, that's just an old cross. That's just a piece of wood nailed together. Well, it might be, but the Bible calls it a tree. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." On a tree. Not a cross necessarily. We know that's what it was, but the Bible calls it a tree. "Being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." So we're seeing that God had a tree, and it was a Christmas tree. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Now, there's pros and cons when we talk about our Christmas trees. I've had some good people just scold me, and I've heard them scold others for having a heathen tree in their living room. And they talk about a pagan practice. That's beside the point in the lesson this morning. We're saying that's just a place or an opportunity, a tool that we might use to enjoy the time that we spend with family. But when we talk about a Christmas tree, we're talking about a Christmas tree that God had for you and I. So we're seeing this as we find that the Bible calls this cross a tree. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Hanged on a tree. So John 3:16 tells us what the greatest gift probably that we'll ever know, and the greatest gift the world will ever receive. For God so loved the world that he gave, and now we're saying again, reminding you that Christmas is synonymous with giving, a time of giving. God gave us on his tree his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're talking about a great gift. Now, I'd like to examine some of those gifts that God gave us on the tree. Some of those gifts that we perhaps know about, but very seldom just take time to meditate on them. So I'm going to share with you just a few thoughts as we come through this. God's gifts to us under the tree. And I'll make the cross to kind of fade into a Christmas tree here so that we might better apply it to our lives. One of the greatest gifts that God gave to us is the gift of salvation. Gift of salvation. And as we think about the gift, I'll package it up. I think it ought to be a package in red because it symbolizes blood. The greatest gift was a costly gift. It cost the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to say this gift that God placed beneath his tree was the gift of salvation for you and I. There's several verses that tell us thoughts like this, but in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, now notice again, we're talking about gifts, God's gifts to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, Christmas gift, Christmas gift that God gave to us under his tree. And again, he tells us thoughts like this. He says in John chapter 10 and verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. I give unto, you know, we've got to be careful. We don't overlook a precious thought here. Gifts are that which we cannot buy. We cannot pay for. You cannot make installments on them. A gift is something you receive, and God gave to us. He gives to us. It's always he gave, he gives. And this is what we want to keep in mind as we think of these precious gifts that we receive, giving and receiving at Christmas. So here, John chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So here's a precious gift that God gave, the gift of salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Perhaps you are aware of this, but gift and grace come from the same root word. When we talk about grace, we're talking about something that's given, that is, we're unable to buy it or purchase it. It's God's gift of grace is that gift that we cannot earn, we cannot purchase, we cannot make installments on it. It's a gift from God. So here he says, according to the riches of his gift, he gave to us redemption through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we find this thought as we look at it. Another gift is, let me just go ahead and continue on this thought of the gift of salvation. Someone said this gift of this word salvation and is an abstract word. In other words, it's difficult to just pin it down what it really means. By being abstract, it has many areas within the word. So we're saying when we talk about the gift of salvation, well, here's the gift. We'll open it up, and we see that this gift of salvation, as we look at the contents of it, it says something like this. It includes these things. This is all involved in this gift that God gives us, the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sin. That was part of the gift that God gave when Christ died on the cross. He forgave our sins for those that have trusted him as their personal Savior. And secondly, we find there's the word reconciliation. That's inclusive in this gift, this word salvation. We talk about reconciliation, and I mentioned earlier, I've seen this happen, and I've heard and I've read stories how that Christmas Eve brings a restoring of family. Children come from afar off. Perhaps some of them have not been there for quite a length of time. It's always a joy when they come together on this evening or this day of Christmas, and there is a reconciling of family fellowship and love for one for another. And we're seeing reconciliation as a bringing together, lowering or tearing down the barriers, removing the obstacles. And God done all that at the cross. The Bible says that at the cross, the walls of differences between the Jew and the Greek were torn down, making them all available to come into his presence through the blood of Christ. There's a great deal of reconciliation involved when God saved us, and the word salvation includes all that. And we see another word here. It's the word justification. Many of you are familiar with the word. So the old-fashioned word saying is that it's just as though I had never sinned. But really, that's bordering very shallow. God declares it's as though you had never sinned. In Christ, he sees us sinless because of Christ. We see it when we are in Christ, we are justified. Being justified means we are no longer under the penalty or no longer any charges against us. So we're seeing these words all come in this one word, salvation. And another word, adoption. We've been born into the family of God. And the word adoption in the sense of the Romans and the Greeks in that day meant that the child at an early age now has the full benefits of the adult. When we come into the presence of God, whether it's you were saved today, tomorrow, or the next day, or a year ago, we're all equally adults in the receiving of the benefits of God. Adoption includes all those things. And then sanctification, being set apart. So when we say we've received God's salvation, it's a multiple gift. It just includes many things that we need to be reminded of. So we have forgiveness of sin, reconciliation, justification, adoption, sanctification. And how about intercessory prayer? It's been made possible as a gift of God that we might now come boldly into his presence. And these things are all inclusive in this word salvation. All right, now the second word God's gifts to us under the tree is the word, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you thankful for that? Certainly we are. When we think about the gift of the Holy Spirit, we'll say we'll make him as a gift in blue. It's a heavenly gift. So we'll say that blue is a color of heaven. So we've wrapped this gift, God's wrapped it and given it to us, the person of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift because look at what it tells us here in this particular verse. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we're finding that this is a gift that God gives to us, and a precious gift. A gift that we realize the Bible says that you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Your body is the temple or the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells within each believer. So we're seeing here in John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send," or I'll give to you, "from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So the gift that God gave of the Holy Spirit was a gift that came as a result of Christ's tree, the cross, that we find in our lesson this morning. John chapter 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the precious gift of God is the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts that God gives us under his tree as a result of the cross of Christ. Thirdly, we find the gift of peace. The barrier, the war, the obstacles have been torn down. The Bible says now there is peace with God and the peace of God. So we can call that, we can say the peace is usually found in something that's white, you know, the dove of peace. So we'll put a white box under his tree and we'll see the red and the blue and the white. And the gift of peace is found in John chapter 14 and verse 27. See, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It's a gift. I'll give it to you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So these are gifts, something we cannot earn, purchase, something we cannot buy. We do not have the means. It's something that God gives to us as a gift. We find again a thought along this line in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace is a wonderful gift that God gives. I suppose that in our church family, there's been recent bereavements, and God gives a peace that passeth all understanding to those that know him. And that peace is very important to them at this time in their lives. We find that other of God's gifts to us under the tree would be the gift of access. Did you ever think of that as being a gift? That you can come boldly into the throne of God, into the presence of God? We find that this is a gift. We'll just wrap it any color because it comes in a variety of things. But in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a privilege to come unto the Lord in prayer and in intercessory prayer. It's a privilege that we might be able to come into his presence when not everyone is capable of doing that. God says it's a gift, and after you receive him, Christ as Savior, you have that privilege of coming into his presence as a son of God. I think of a story that I may have told this, may not have told it here, but during the days of the Civil War, when our President Abraham Lincoln was just under great pressure and distress, it said at one occasion he retired to his room and said, I don't want to be disturbed. I must rest. I must have time alone. A courier comes from the battlefield with important news, and the soldier comes and makes request to see the president, and he's denied. He said, he's not available. He cannot see anyone, and he's very distressed. The soldier said, I've got important news. I need to talk to him. And in the courtyard, there was a young boy, and he heard this, and he goes to the soldier and says, come with me. And he takes him through the back door and through the kitchen, up the stairs to the bedroom of the president, and knocks on his door and says, Daddy, a man needs to see you. This showed his privilege that he had as a family. He, the child, could come boldly unto the Father where no one else could come. We find that's true in our case. We can come boldly because he's our Father, and we are the child, and he's there to hear us in our time of need. It's a gift that God gives us, and often we do not take advantage of that gift. So we find again, as we think of this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So now we find another gift, the gift of joy. And we're going to have to start closing these up pretty soon, but there's multiple gifts. Joy, different than happiness. Happiness depends upon happenings. Happenings. A lot of happenings can make us happy. But joy is deep down, that's a gift of God. And it's there because he gave it. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. He gave it to us that we might have joy in our hearts and in our lives. There's a verse of scripture or two. We'll put that box of joy under there. And John chapter 15 and verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. In other words, Christ gave us of his joy, that gift of joy that's ours in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we're seeing these gifts as we go along in John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Different gifts that God has given us under his Christmas tree. Under that tree, that cross where Christ died, multiple gifts are ours for the asking, and he has made them available to us. Not only the gift of joy, but finally, we have the gift of victory over trials. This is important, that we understand that God has provided a gift for us, that his presence and his help is there for you and I during difficult. Now, this gift often comes, I'll put it on striped box. It comes in so many different varieties and forms and stripes. We talk about stripes as being a time of trialing, a trial or a time of discouragement perhaps. And here we find that God gives us this thought in 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing had happened to you. In other words, trials will come into our life as a normal part of our living. But when they come, God has given us a precious gift. Notice what he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This is God's gift to you, that there'll never come a trial or a testing or a discouraged thought in your mind that he's not there to make it corrected and to make it right, make you able to bear it. We find another thought along this line as we come in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory, this is the gift, this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So these are gifts that God has given us beneath his tree. We find that as we think of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, now thanks be unto God, now notice, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, making manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The gift over trials, a gift of God, gift of victory in our lives. So as we conclude this, we think about how didn't God place some wonderful gifts under his tree? And we look at this and we see the cross provided a place where God showed his love for all mankind, made every need of our lives. And this is what gifts come about, because there's a need, perhaps. Gifts come about because of the provider, being able to provide the gift. God could provide, we had the need. So here we see, first of all, the gift of salvation. We find, secondly, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We find, thirdly, the gift of peace. And fourthly, the gift of access to come into his presence. The gift of joy and the gift of victory. These are wonderful gifts that God has given us. Now, it's possible, and I don't know who all's here, but it's possible that maybe that someone here does not have these gifts that God has given, but would like to have them. It's possible because, as we find James saying, ye have not because ye ask not. For those of us that have received these gifts, we need to be careful that we don't just hoard them up, and we need to share them. So we're going to say in conclusion, have you received the gifts that God offers you? Have you thanked him for those gifts? Are you willing to share them with others? So this will be the lesson this morning. This is the Christmas season, a time of giving, a time of sharing, a time of remembering the wonderful things that God has done for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those gifts. We thank you, Father, again for this time that we can spend in just opening up your word and just being reminded. This is the beauty of it, just to be reminded again of what you have done for us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we pray as we enter into this time of the year, this season of the year, that it might be a time that we'll not only just remember the family around us, but we might remember the time that we might be ministering to others and the time that we might be sharing those things that we've heard and that we know. So bless the time of this church, especially as we enter into this time of the year, that we might be that which you'd have us to be. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.